tonight on the Game On podcast. Carnage on the streets of Adelaide, but a new champion is crowned. And Nathan McSweeney gets the first test opening spot and great for South Australian cricket. And the 36ers involved in a little bit of an incident where a fan touches a player. We're still wondering why. All right, welcome to the Game On podcast. My name's Pete, once again joining the studio here with Malcolm. And Malcolm, once again, what was your highlight from the weekend, mate?
Probably being at the Britannia yesterday and the noise of those planes overhead. Oh, my God. It was staggering. Look, and while it had been announced a bit earlier, but, yeah, Nathan McSweeney getting the nod to open. Yes, technically you can say he's a Queenslander, but he has played all his first-class cricket here.
Yep.
It's not like out of that. And, yeah, stepping up the plate to captain South Australia this year, started the year really well in both batting and captaincy-wise. Mm-hmm. I think he's a distinct huge chance to end up the next Australian captain. Big call to make before he's made his debut. But that's how he's rated leadership-wise in Australian cricket. You didn't actually have Albert Einstein to work that out with Australia A appointments and all that, but he's very highly regarded. So we look forward to that. And so we have three South Australian players playing in the first test. And if I could have a dollar for every time I got a message asking when the last time that happened was, and I admit I thought that Bluey, Boof, and Dizzy had played a test match together, but they didn't.
Oh, there you go.
It's
Hold on that. We'll get into Around the Grounds, mate, and we'll announce it right now.
Around the Grounds.
All right, mate, before the big reveal here, we will take a little bit of a look at the AFLW, the AFL, and also the basketball. But the big reveal, who were the three? Because I would have said, like you, that it would have been Boof, Bluey, and Dizzy Gillespie there.
Trust me, it took a while to do the investigating, but it was Rodney Hogg, Wayne Phillips, and the late David Hooks in the West Indies in 1984.
Absolutely. Well, before we move on to cricket in general, mate, a bit of a public service announcement. This Saturday night, we've got a sportsman's night, and I know you'd like to talk about it now.
Yeah, look, it's for a pretty important cause. It is for the Ansell family. Chris Ansell's wife, Beck, has had a brain aneurysm, has lost sight in one eye. We're waiting still to see completely on the other, but considerably affected on that side as well. Now, obviously, that's created financial troubles and obviously emotional problems in that. And so, as any good club should, steps up and has a sports night as a fundraiser. And we have John Harms comparing it with yours truly.
Yes.
Also, so the speakers are Michael Aish, Peter McIntyre, who's actually got his own fascinating health story to reveal, and it's actually an ironic one where he's lucky that he chipped a tooth. So anyone can come along. Trust me, it is fascinating. Mm-hmm. And Wayne Phillips, and I'm sure he will continue his crest to make sure everyone knows that he made 159 on debut, but I actually want to try and, by interviewing, get him on the serious side of a few things as well.
Yep.
So, yeah, look, 7 for 7:30 start. At Paynham Sports Association, John Street, Paynham. It's $30 a ticket. You can hop online, just go onto the Paynham Dukes page or my page, Malcolm Rulebook Ashwood on Facebook. Mm-hmm. Click on and buy a ticket there. There's also the option to make a donation for a great cause in trying to help, you know, help a family out in pretty difficult circumstances.
Some things are bigger than sport, and
obviously
some great people there that we've interviewed here on the podcast, but also that you know personally there that are chipping in and helping out for this great cause. So anybody out there that could get along, please get along, because these sort of nights are always fascinating as far as some of the stories that you don't generally hear either on a radio station or a podcast or something like that, that you actually hear at these events.
Trust me, there's a couple I'm going to – I might try and stitch Aishi up a bit Saturday night.
Yep. So, don't give it away too early. But, yes, if you can't make it, then obviously a donation – you know, anything, any type.
Anything will be greatly appreciated.
Yep, absolutely. So, yeah, please get along to that event if you can. And if you can't, then, as we said, make your donation. All right, mate, let's continue on with the cricket here. We did talk about Nathan McSweeney a little bit last week because it had only just been announced. But now that it's sunk in a little bit, is it the right call, him opening, or would you prefer to see him, say, number three?
Oh, look, you've got to remember, Khawaja hadn't opened, and then he got thrust into opening at test level. He hadn't he hadn't opened at Shield level and all that. So out of that, I think he's technically correct and all that side of things. Well, he is technically correct.
Yep.
So I think in that way, the role suits him. Whether you have... Whether him and Khawaja are a great pairing because they're probably both
that was gonna more be my steady name.
And Nick and nudges. Yeah, you can debate on that.
Yep.
But no opener would put their foot down on the spot. And as Tim Payne said, interestingly enough, after the test side's finally been picked, the mental side, isn't it interesting that two openers go out and make hundreds in Shield cricket this weekend?
Yep.
One of them, and I did message him congratulating him in obviously another guest on our show previously.
Hold your fire on that one. We'll come to that in a minute. Obviously, Nathan McSweeney's put it together a body of work over the last sort of 18 months. It is.
It's the last couple of seasons.
And obviously, Australia are holding his leadership in high regard as far as that.
Well and truly.
There is a little bit of a changing of the guard. Is it going to be a bit of a throwback to yesteryear where the openers are going to occupy the crease, or hopefully occupy the crease, for a period of time and not necessarily worry about the run rate, so to speak? Is it going to be a bit of a throwback?
Yeah, possibly. I think they'll still try and nudge it around and all that. Look.
Or does Khawaja become the aggressor a little bit?
I don't think.
Or is
no,
it not in his
makeup? No, it doesn't really suit his game. Yep. So I think it more will be steady and steady as you goes. Probably the thing which is bizarre for mine is just how cricket's changed so much, where previously, years ago, there were heaps of warm-up games. Before an Ashes tour in England, you actually played about five county games before you played the first test. Now, we've played India A twice. I am stunned that more guys like Virat Kohli hasn't made a run for a long time. The average is 26 in the last 3 years.
Yep.
I would have thought he would have had a game, at least one of the games. And on our own, look, yep, I have nothing in Travis Head missing a game for the birth of a child, but you would have thought he would have played the next game and all that. I don't get it, being on maternity leave and all that. That's I'm old-fashioned there. But I would have thought you'd want to hit. And you have, I think Mitch Marsh has been a bit the same. So they both teams for mine are going in really underdone. And the guy's in the best form as a batter at the moment because he's played so much cricket and he's hitting the ball beautifully. Alex Carey, it was a bit scary when he got hit in the head last trip, being I was there.
Yep.
And we were worried straight away. We thought, geez, that's a decent hit.
Yep.
We actually thought he was spitting blood, but he wasn't, thank goodness. So, and he's okay. But, yeah, it was a nervous few minutes there for a while.
That ball did sort of jump up, didn't it? And caught him by surprise.
I've got to admit, I was immediately doing the days to the test match with the concussion rule and all that. That was just straight off the top of my head. So luckily he is okay. And I just don't get how many guys
are coming in cold.
Cold. I want to hit.
Yep.
I always wanted to hit before the first game. I wanted to play a couple of trials, have a couple of hits in practice games. Yep. So, yeah, I don't get it.
So where does that leave, obviously, Australia now? India, what are we expecting in this first test? Because now the injury part of it is now coming into play.
Yeah, Gill is out for India, which is a big out. And there's still huge doubt on Rohit Sharma whether he's going to play after the birth of his second child, where it fits in, where that's happening. So they're in doubt as well. So it's just two vastly underdone sides. Look, so games in Perth. Bumrah is good enough, could just blast through Australia and then Kohli come off and India win the test match. I don't think that's not...
So you're saying there's enough class there still,
can they put
it together?
There still is. You just don't know. As I said, I think Australia are just as questionable, especially batting. Like, it's not like Labuschagne and Smith have set the world on fire for a fair while as well.
Yeah, you sort of stole my thunder there.
You know, Travis... lack of batting.
Mm-hmm.
Mitch Marsh, lack of batting. Nathan's first test. So, you know, it is a really questionable Australian side as well. You could easily see Australia collapsing for 100-odd as well.
Yep.
So I just don't – I think it's really up in the air.
Is it a case of India almost putting up the white flag a little bit for the first test, I don't think so at all. Concentrating on the second test?
No, not at all, because you just don't know. As I said, if Kohli comes off, whatever, you just don't know. And
what are your thoughts on India's secret squirrel a little bit with some of their training sessions and stuff like that? But they've always done that when they've come to Australia. Is that more to control the crowds that could turn up to some of those sessions?
You don't get big crowds for warm-up games. I find it bizarre, personally.
Yeah, but Virat Kohli's obviously last games in Australia.
Play proper games. They had the chance. There were two Australia A games scheduled, not doing now. Australia would have loved Kohli to have played. Yeah. So I don't get it.
Is it potentially injury cloud?
Well, Gil got injured at training. You can get injured anywhere.
That's true. So you step out of a bath and get injured.
Exactly.
All right, mate. Early predictions. Friday's the first test. If we win the toss, are we going to battle bowl?
Again, it's in Perth, so you just don't know.
If it had been at the Wacker, you'd have said bowl.
Yeah, look, I don't think in the last couple of years that the test matches, there's the traditional. And mind you, the Wacker had slowed down as well. The Wacker hasn't been the lightning Wacker from the 70s and 80s for a long time.
Yep.
I think they'll probably bat, but we'll wait and see.
That should be interesting. Who's your tip then, mate? Crystal balling.
You go for Australia, but as I said, I'm not going for Australia with huge confidence. As I said, I think there's enormous question marks on both sides. Yep.
Well, mate, by this time next week, we're going to have some answers and we're going to have lots to talk about, especially if Australia do collapse, like you sort of said could happen, or India collapses, or Kohli gets out cheaply. It's going to be a fascinating first test. Obviously, look out for that one on your TV screens. All right, let's move on to some Shield cricket. You did sort of lead us in very nicely that a previous guest of ours had a very big weekend for his side in the Sheffield Shield.
Yeah, he was 185 not out too, Jake Weatherald, overnight. I was desperately hoping he'd get to 200 the next morning, but he was pretty plumb off Swepson the next morning. And
Almost walked.
It's quite amusing watching. It's typical Jake in that way. But look, man of the match as well, so congratulations to Weathers. South Australia were disappointing, very disappointing. Look, I didn't like our side.
Yep.
I thought it lacked batting. I couldn't work out
who could have squeezed
Liam in. Scott was the other one. Liam had scored 50-odd last Shield game, and it's 40-odd not out in the one day. I would have played him.
Yep.
They went for the five specialist bowlers. I think Liam's quite a reasonable. I thought he was underbowled in the game against Victoria.
Yep.
Is that a case
of
Karen, we won? So.
Yeah. Is that a case of Karen Rolton coming into play there?
No, I wouldn't.
It is a slightly different track, isn't it?
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought so. I just thought I would have played him, but look, very easy in hindsight as well. I just thought, hang on, we haven't got Alex Carey, who'd been our dominant player. We haven't got Nathan McSweeney. I reckon we need a bit more batting than we named, and unfortunately, that was correct.
Obviously, New South Wales getting a hold of South Australia.
And to Jackson Bird's enormous credit, and look, I think he is a name which probably should be higher regarded in Australian cricket over time. He has now moved into fifth spot on the most number of wickets ever at Shield level.
I did notice that.
And he's only behind the late, great Clary Grimmett, who only took a casual 513.
Yes.
Michael Kasprich in 441. Andy Bickle with 430. Joe Angel with 419. And Jackson Bird now 387. At the very, very, very good average, the lot of 22.24, the lowest of any of that top five. So, you know, he's probably a bit maligned, Jackson Bird.
Yep.
But, geez, he's got a good record against South Australia. Oh. Unfortunately,
we don't want to know that. Maybe we need to meet him at the airport next time and just give him a sandwich that gives him a little bit of the runs, yeah, so that way he takes the game off. All right, let's have a little bit of fun there. Jake Lehman showing a little bit of faith in his selection from the game before, obviously getting off to a good start there in the game before, but also here in this one against New South Wales.
Yeah, he made 100, which is fantastic, but he did play a poor shot to get out. When we needed him to go big to give us an outside chance to draw the game,
mm-hmm.
and yeah, it was a disappointing day to lose by an innings too at Karen Rolt on the third day. That was pretty disappointing. Tom Kelly fought harder, got 57, but didn't go on with it again to get a 100, which TK admits himself he needs.
Yep.
So it was just a really disappointing game. Nathan McAndrew getting injured as well. We rubbed salt in the wounds. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it wasn't a great day, great weekend.
It wasn't, that's for sure. But I'm sure Rhino will have them bouncing back and ready and raring to go for the next one.
Oh, look, let's be honest, those couple of games were inspired by McSweeney and Carey. All of a sudden you haven't got your two with head, your best three batters playing. So that's just the reality of it.
Yep.
That we weren't as strong. We knew that before the game.
Yep.
That's why, again, I was surprised we didn't go there the bit more extra batting in that regard.
South Australia trying to improve their depth, which is obviously something that we've talked about previously there. And for the most part, it's been going okay this year, but it was tested, as you said.
Yep.
Makes it very, very hard. Yep. Mate, a little bit of fun here to finish off with the cricket. Your best top five bowlers from each era. Basically going back to the 70s, got a couple of names here. Underwood, Lilly, Willis, Lilly
obviously.
And what do we got here? Reddy? Is it Reddy?
No, I don't know who you've got there. No. I don't know.
My eyes are deceiving me here. I did say it. Beddy, sorry.
Bisham Beatty.
That's it, Beatty. Yep, sorry. My apologies there.
Yeah, very good left arm orthodox. Beautiful flight of the ball. Derek Underwood was – Deadly Derek was an unusual bowler. He was almost left arm quickie. He was almost left arm medium as a spinner and darted in. Back then, you didn't play on – you actually played on wet wickets. And he was just – he wasn't called Deadly Derek for nothing.
Yep.
And Knott's keeping off him was fantastic as well. So he's up. Look, Lily's still my premier bowler. Right. Lily with Malcolm Marshall are my two premier bowlers.
That's going to be next. So that was from the 70s. Yep. Now we've got the 80s. Malcolm Marshall, Richard Hadlee, Imran Khan, Kapil Dev, and Joel Garner. That's a pretty impressive 1980s list to choose from.
You could keep adding there with Michael Holding. I'm trying to think there where Alan Donald.
Mm-hmm.
So there's plenty of others there who could also be added.
This just sort of came across my desk, and I thought I'd ask you all about it because there's a few names in there that I would certainly have on my top five list anyway. The 90s, Curtly Ambrose, Shane Warne, Wazzy Makram, Courtney Walsh, and Waka Yunus.
Yeah, if I'm absolutely forced to pick my four is Lily, Marshall. The third one is a bit harder.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
I'll keep going because we've got the 2000s.
Yeah.
We've got...
I'm probably Ambrose.
Yep. Matthias Lutheran.
I don't count him. Keep going.
Warne again. Warne. Glenn McGrath and Shoaib Akhtar and Kumble.
Yeah, look, do you dare go for Pigeon for his just unbelievable accuracy. The fact that he could bowl at a 20-cent piece and consistently hit it in the
10-cent piece at times.
It's just incredible.
Yep.
So it's either him or Ambrose for mine. Malcolm Marshall, I loved Malcolm Marshall.
Yep.
And Warne's the obvious bowler.
Yep. And just to finish this off, the 2010s, Anderson, Stein, Ashwin, Harith?
Yeah, from Sri Lanka.
And Broad.
Yeah, I'm probably there for mine. I think Dale Steyn's the clear standout for me out of that one. Anderson, fantastic in the right conditions.
Yes.
But the fact that he never really did anything. The only test match he really did hit was a pink ball test here.
Yep.
So he needed the condition. He struggled in Australia without the clouds. And look, great bowler,
mm-hmm.
unbelievable longevity.
Yep.
But Clouderson, as the nickname, as the as the sledge against him.
Yep.
Yeah, does have him. Although it was actually interesting. He was probably better in the second half of his career away than what he was in the first half, to his credit.
There you go. My top five would probably be Lily, Marshall, Ambrose. Oh, no, I can't do Ambrose. I have to do Warne and McGrath.
Yeah.
With Ashwin sort of thrown in there as well. Yeah. So just a little bit of fun there to sort of finish us off there with the cricket. As we said, make sure you're watching this weekend and we'll go from there. All right, let's move on to local Premier Cricket, mate. Would have been the second day of most of those matches. Let's have a little bit of a rundown as to how they all went. And
Sturt.
Who's doing well once again?
Sturt, who've come up from last year, are currently on top of the table. Sturt comfortably defeated West Torrens on the weekend, so that was a good result by the Double Blues.
Yep.
Tea Tree Gully convincingly beat Port Adelaide. You know, they did have 338 to defend. Kensington declared as soon as they passed Glenelg pretty early, but then Glenelg 2 for 135, game called off early. Could be a thing there. And Adelaide comfortably chased down Uni's 8 for 285 at 3 for 286. Mm-hmm. So
how did the sort of hot weather, wet weather sort of play in?
The hot weather
play into most of the, the Premier League games?
Oh, look, probably just batters came away a bit more there, like, you know, pretty easy chase, really. And Uni's bowling, unfortunately, is not delivering.
Yep.
Rob O'Shaughnessy laid a few home truths out about that on the weekend. But after Cam Edwards had got 170 for Adelaide, Noah McFadden made 134 not out, with Jacob Reichelt 73 not out. And those two just smash Uni, after, especially from halfway through the day, to get them very easily.
Yep.
Tea Tree Gully, as I said, convincingly there. And, yeah, just all the bowlers chipped in for Sturt. Everyone sort of contributed a bit. And West Torrens really needed someone to get a big score. And they had a 55 from Kelvin Smith, 53 from James Ruther batting nine. So they were never really in it. Blake Cullen was the star for Sturt there with 5 for 63. Angus Parker got a couple early, son of Skittle, to get a couple early and Sturt on top after coming up. It's a good effort there.
Absolutely. So they're the form side at the moment?
Yeah, they are.
Yep.
In Glenelg, second to bottom, who've been the traditional side, and Uni on the bottom. So who've been very good for the last few years now, for quite a while.
Yep.
In the Div 2 men's first grade second division of it,
yep,
probably the standout performance there is the Sacker under-19s. They chased East Torrens 281 and got them six down of 81 over. So they won really pretty convincingly there. Look, I actually think, while I don't really like the rules and all that, because Kane Halfpenny, who made 82, would be playing A-grade for Tea Tree Gully. Yep. So I don't sort of get that. But getting him, Thomas Brown, while he failed this game and made 100 the previous game, but they've got a bit of stability. Matty Larae, he's got a very difficult choice on footy or cricket soon, and it's got to come soon.
Good luck, yes.
Oh, geez, yeah, he's both. But he's captaining, and he's a pretty mature head on young shoulders.
And you have mentioned that previously.
Yeah, I rate episodes. Him.
Yep.
And he just played the role, 41 not out, and just steadied while Hayden Schiller smashed him at the other end off 84 with 84 not out for them to get up pretty easily.
Yep.
So, yeah, the second 19s who struggled last year have been pretty good so far. But
that was a new-look format as far as the Premier League 1 and 2 goes. So
I think Matty Larae getting that leadership's been really important.
Yep.
Look, probably the standout performance of the round is Kyle Scrimshaw. So 9 for 27 in the first innings for Prospect, following it up with 5 for 30 in the second. So he's taken 14 wickets for 57 runs for the game. That's ridiculous.
That is very impressive.
So, yeah. So that's probably been the standout there.
Yep. Good to see the under-19s doing well there.
Southern Districts defeated Woodville. Woodville are struggling a bit.
Yep.
And that's the story there from local cricket.
good to see the under-19s doing well, considering that we are trying to build some depth here, and it looks like it's all starting to just come together a little bit for South Australia at the moment. Do you subscribe to the fact that it could be the uniforms that have changed their thinking a little bit? I know, it's a little bit of fun there. All right, mate, let's take a very, very quick break. Coming up, got the Adelaide Crows doing it very, very easily at Nord Oval against Fremantle. And Port Adelaide come from the clouds to book themselves into a preliminary final. And again, we're going to talk a little bit more basketball and see how the 36ers went.
We'll be right back after this short break.
Looking to buy or sell your home anywhere in Adelaide, from the hills to the sea? Meet Gary Creeves, your dedicated local agent from Owens Casserly Real Estate. With unparalleled knowledge of Adelaide's housing market and a commitment to exceptional service, Gary ensures a smooth and stress-free experience for all your real estate needs. Trust the expert. Trust Gary Creeves at Owens Casserly Real Estate. Your next dream home awaits. Contact Gary today on 0422 071 317 or on email garyk@ocre.com.au. And for more listings, please visit owenscasserly.com.au. Make it happen. All right, mate, we continue on with the AFL. The draft is upon us, finally. It feels like we've waited forever almost for this one here. Wednesday night, I think there's going to be some trading that's going to happen on the night, and it's going to be more than what we have seen in the past.
Yeah, I don't know, because there's all the talk this year's draft so strong and so deep, so therefore clubs will keep picks. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I always take that with a grain of salt, and then the next year comes along. They all say the same thing.
Yep.
Roughly. So, so wait and see on
that. Where do you think Adelaide are at with Draper? Because they seem to have cooled on that a little bit right now, and it looks like they're looking at another midfielder.
Again, I take that with a grain of salt. I'll be very surprised. If Draper is available, and again, I emphasise that, I will be amazed if Adelaide don't pick him.
Can you see him going before Adelaide get their first pick?
Yes.
Okay. Yep. Carlton might be the one that does the damage there, so I'm licking my lips and rubbing my hands together to get a very, very good quality player. Do you think the Crows will trade up with North Melbourne? There's been some rumours there that they might trade up with North Melbourne for this year for a future second-round pick next year. Again, thinking that Adelaide have probably got the age profile now that they might want to trade this year.
Yeah, but you're trading up for two spots and you're giving up a selection for that. I think it'd be mad, personally.
Yep, it's just interesting how that comes out there. And obviously, North Melbourne were potentially looking at trading with, Richmond at one stage?
Yeah, I think that's still a chance to happen.
Right, there you go. That's where I thought it was. Teams are already planning for next year. Do you see them doing more trades than drafting when it comes to next year's crop?
Again, I take any comments about a draft a year out, you've got to remember they're kids.
Yep.
Things change. You have bolters, you have sliders, you know. Ashton Moy the year before was predicted to be top three, and then he slides down to Carlton at 30-odd, and everyone's saying Carlton got a bargain. You just really don't know.
Yep. A bit like that with Geelong as well, with a couple of their draft steals. Question without notice, do we see Adelaide going hard for a ruckman next year?
Yeah, I would think so, and I would hope so. As I said, I'm bitterly disappointed they didn't make a huge play for Lloyd Meek last year. It's been a weakness at Adelaide for a long time. I find it a bit bizarre.
Do you think Adelaide have finally sort of cottoned on to that is the problem?
It's taken bloody long enough.
Yep.
It's a bit like Blue Hills.
Another one that's just floated around a little bit, do you think Adelaide will be into Sam Draper?
I would hope so.
Being that he's at Essendon.
Yeah, and he's more the age profile, which fits a bit more as well. Yep. Yeah, and he gives you a bit more around the ground.
Would he be that X factor that Adelaide need? A bit like Sean Wren?
Yeah, maybe. I know
we're going back a fair way with Sean Wren, but he was the X factor there, wasn't he?
Oh, Wren was. Wren's Adelaide's most important ever player for mine. You've only got to have a look. Injured? Nowhere. Flag, fit. Injured? Fall from premiers to 13th.
And then traded.
Yeah. Let's just say it wasn't. Probably both a bit pig-headed, but not Gary Ayres' best ever hour.
Yep. No, fair enough. It's going to be interesting to see who's traded, and it's always a bit of an event that has become more and more of an event. First round trading on Wednesday night and then the remainder on Thursday night. So
yeah, it's interesting. So Ned Bowman has been placed at 30 in the Phantom Draft, so son of Lockie.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think how many clubs. It's a couple of weeks ago now that I was last with Lockie, and certainly the majority had spoken with him. So we'll see where he ends up. He'll certainly get picked.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Could be making a move into state, but it would be nice to obviously keep him here in SA.
Yeah, that won't
happen. That probably won't happen. That's exactly right. All right, let's move on to the AFLW, mate. Huge result for the Crows at the parade. Adelaide getting on top of Fremantle very early in the piece, and it was quite a hot day. Well, sorry, a warm day. I won't say it was scorching hot, but it was certainly hot enough that it made it uncomfortable for players, but they took it in their stride.
I didn't have my jumper on in the scoreboard, mate. She was a bit warm up there. It was a pretty convincing win, just way too good.
Adelaide looked like they had that run back that they generally didn't have for the last couple of weeks.
They were a little bit better. I did think that was the standard of the opposition as well, though.
Yep.
Like, Brisbane's a big step up from...
Yep. And North Melbourne sort of, they did wrestle with them for a while, but that run had been lacking. Now, can they get that going?
Frio were a little bit unlucky. They had a couple of injuries. I don't know the player because when I was with her after the game, she didn't have the playing number on.
Mm-hmm.
And look, she broke her finger in the warm-up. And, I thought I was looking at the late, great Fred Block's hand. I thought of Chocker straight away. When I saw it, I went, oh!
Yep, and it's at right angles and angles that it shouldn't be. And
their other ruckman hurt herself in the first few minutes, fell heavily after a marking contest, and Jess Allen won in ruck.
Yep.
Probably the other thing, Adelaide were pretty good in defence. They really didn't look like getting scored against as well. Sarah Allen, it was probably her back to her Simon Prestigiacomo sort of impersonation. Probably leading the fence a little bit more than she has a couple of times this year. So that was promising.
Absolutely.
So there were some good signs. Let's wait and see, though, as I said, far stronger.
We'll talk about the Adelaide-Brisbane game in a minute, but it would be remiss if we did not spend a bit of time tonight
on
Port Adelaide and their fantastic achievement in getting themselves to a prelim, I think a little bit sooner than we all thought. But Hawthorn were a expansion team. Coming in, and they had everything to play for and were well in control of the
game the score,
basically halfway through the third quarter.
Yeah, saw the score at three-quarter time and thought, geez, that's over. And then all of a sudden clicked on again and Port had hit the front. So, looked fantastic effort by Port. I know it was big raps on Scholes again afterwards. I've only seen the highlights, so I didn't see the actual game. But, a great effort for him to stick at it probably was the thing where the Port people would be most
impressed. So Port Adelaide obviously down by a few points there in the first quarter there and had pegged it back to a six-point deficit at halftime. But they were down as much as 21 points in that third quarter and then kicked four goals basically to nothing in the last quarter there to get themselves back into the contest and then get up by a point. Mate, they have probably been the story of the season so far with their ability to be able to win back-to-back-to-back-to-back games, put themselves in a position now that they get to take on arguably probably the champs in waiting in North Melbourne.
And North have been, North is still undefeated this year. They have looked a class above everyone else. They've looked like they bat a bit deeper. Huge test for Port, but they've almost got nothing to lose. Just go out and have a real crack against the superstar side. So it is almost a free hit.
Do you see North Adelaide being closer to a loss than than a win as far as that goes. Remember, you can only win so many games sometimes, and that loss can happen at any stage. Does it happen this week?
Look, for mine, North Melbourne are the best side by distance, in my opinion.
Yep.
So, I expect I'll be very surprised if they don't win pretty convincingly.
Good luck to Port Adelaide this weekend. Yep. Obviously, your tip is North Melbourne.
Yep.
My tip is North Melbourne as well. But I'm a bit with you. Port Adelaide have got nothing to lose, and I think that's a dangerous weapon to have, I suppose, when it comes to making those games very, very interesting. But, yeah, best of luck to Port Adelaide. All right, we better move on to the second game. Are you interested that Port Adelaide are going to be playing in the heat of Saturday afternoon this week over in Melbourne?
Well, yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it? Where, what's the forecast, though? It's
looking at about 36 degrees.
Mm. Yeah, it's probably showing there where they want to give the team 7 days off, so they almost can't play the Saturday night. Mm-hmm. That's probably the problem there.
Even though the final is at night.
Yeah, so it's a bit weird.
Yep.
Yeah.
The AFLW have got a little bit of work to do on their programming and scheduling. We've spoken about that at length as well. All right, let's move on to the second game. The Brisbane Lions taking on the Adelaide Crows. Third versus fourth here, 7 p.m. at Brighton Homes Arena in Ipswich.
Brisbane have had the wood on Adelaide well and truly. Beaten them the last seven times. I think that will continue. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I hope I'm wrong, but... Yeah, I'll go Brisbane.
I'm going to go Brisbane as well, but only just. And then potentially a North Brisbane Grand Final.
Yeah.
Is Brisbane the team that can get the job done, or is Adelaide still a chance if they get through this one?
Oh, look, Grand Final, you got to kick straight. Have a look at North Melbourne in 97. They sprayed it everywhere. It can always happen. In 98, sorry. It can always happen.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. 50-50, but I still think North Melbourne are well and truly. Yep. They're on a bit of a mission after last year.
A little bit. I agree. Yep. Mate, do we give any chance to a showdown grand final? It's the only permutation that we haven't sort of covered yet.
Oh, look, very outside chance. Wait and see. Mm-hmm. It will be at Nord if it is. Yeah. Yep.
Well, the home of football.
Yep.
Mate, I like the way you think. All right, let's move on to basketball. Huge loss to the Adelaide 36ers to Adelaide United. Melbourne United, I should say.
Yeah.
Things got a little bit ugly when a crowd member put hands on a player after a confrontation, a verbal confrontation.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens there, though there's investigation being done as we speak, so we wait and see on that one.
According to some of the reports that, obviously the people that pay for those seats got a little bit overzealous.
Yeah.
And the NBA import bit back a little bit, and they didn't like it. So you're right. It's going to be very, very interesting to see how that plays out. We can't comment, obviously, on it any further than we wait and see.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see how that goes next week. All right, mate, things don't get any easier for the Adelaide 36ers as they take on the Tasmanian Jack Jumpers at home here at the Entertainment Centre, 30th of November, 6:30 p.m. start. Yeah,
they're still yet to lose at home. Look, I also think, let's just say, there's always a question on AFL umpiring at home games.
Mm-hmm.
I think there is a real thing in basketball. It is a thing. And the debatable calls, and let's face it, in basketball, there's probably just as many, if not more than 40, seem to favour the home team.
We did have a coach come out the other day, make a point in his press conference going, look, I can't bag the umpers, but I'm going to tell you the facts.
Yeah.
12 to 1 free throws or fouls.
Yeah.
How does that happen? And then basically a quarter later, it's 3 to 2. 12 to 1, 3 to 2. I'm only stating facts.
Yeah.
Very, very interesting. I think that's going to be the stock standard now for most coaches going forward.
Yep.
Can't tell you what I really think. I'm going to state the facts.
Yeah.
It's going to be very interesting. Adelaide's still sitting fourth on the table, but like the Sheffield Shield, it's all bunching up a little bit now. So they had a good opportunity to take on and secure a top two spot.
Probably the other real disappointing thing from Adelaide was it blew out again. And their point differential in term is poor.
Yes.
And that's a real worry. That's effectively a game behind in the crunch situation.
You stole my thunder a little bit with that, is that when we are losing, we're not losing small, we're losing quite big. And home court advantage will come into play, and they've got to put some score on the board. All right, mate, let's take a very quick break and see what's coming up. We have Braden Lyle, part one, possibly. Yes. Try to get in contact. And Monday in our Encore Flashback, Tommy Warhurst, part one.
Thank you, Tommy.
You're listening to the Game On Podcast.
We'll be right back after this short break.
A dent and scratches putting a dent in your day? Introducing Roger Steen Crash Repairs Adelaide, your trusted solution for automotive woes. With over two decades of expertise, Roger Steen Crash Repairs guarantees top-notch service, restoring your vehicle to its former glory in no time. From minor dings to major collisions, our skilled technicians handle it all with precision and care, using state-of-the-art equipment and techniques.
Roger Steen Crash Repairs saved my car. It looks brand new.
Fast, friendly, and reliable. I wouldn't trust anyone else with my vehicle. Don't let accidents slow you down. Visit Roger Steen Crash Repairs Adelaide at 14 Penner Avenue, Glynde, for quality service you can count on. And here's a special offer just for our listeners. Mention this podcast and receive a $100 discount on your repair. Roger Steen Crash Repairs Adelaide. Excellence in every repair.
Flashbacks. Flashbacks.
Yeah, so first off on that, Pete, I may have been in Steen Crash Repairs this morning.
I have seen a new car in the driveway tonight.
Dropping my car off. Let's just say it was good to catch up with your in the right people, so it hasn't cost me a cent at least. Just a bit of frustration. Yeah, but it wasn't great. We're related. Just decided to drive into your parked car.
Well, if anyone else has those problems, you know who to go visit. Roger Steen Crash Repairs. Go and see Craig and his team there. They will look after you. All right, mate. Flashbacks today. We're going to look at the 1997 state game between South Australia and Victoria. Some very interesting players playing in that, but also, obviously, our guest there featured in that.
Get hold of him.
Yep.
Yes.
Featured in that one there. Sit back, relax, and enjoy.
This is Pittman with the football. 86 plays, 82. He's in the left back pocket. His ball will land near the wing. It's knocked forward, but gathered there by Bradley. Gives the hand pass away to Bond. Bond into the middle of the ground. Watch out. Swooping on it. There was Johnson, now gathered by Ratten. Ratten's kick across his left shoulder will land at half forward. Lovely little hand pass provided by Ben Hart to Bond to Wanganeen. Wanganeen in the middle of the ground, goes for the run. Two bounces, could have nearly taken a third. Kicks in the direction of Modron. Silvani. Silvani does well again. Gathers the awkward ball. It's still there though. That was smothered. Viney. Back there is Brown, Desperado, Gavin Brown. Well done, King. It hit the line. It hit the line and brought up the chalk. Said central umpire. What's his name? That guy at Wimbledon. Sandy, come on. They give all those controversial decisions, don't they, at the tennis? David King, 86 plays, 82. Victoria lead.
Umpire Dickie Bird. I think that's the name you're after, Robbo.
Anthony Stevens.
Bruno Rabeau.
That'll do. Harvey with the football. Possession number 30 for Robert Harvey. Across the line, gathered by Sexton. Goes down towards centre-half forward. Just completely beats Mansfield. And away goes Bond, back towards the wing. This is Holland for South Australia. He can just wait it nicely. Running beautifully for him is Braden Lyle. Lyle is coming up for possession number 24. He's kicked to the goal square. It covers the players back there. Rowan Smith, Silvani gives away a behind. Oh, only just. Rush behind to South Australia makes the margin. Just 3 points. And Curls, are you on your feet?
Yeah, this is when the cream comes to the top here. This is where
sort the men from the boys, this type of game. It just requires something brilliant again from any one player, and that could decide the game again.
Don't nominate anyone, girls. We'll just let it happen. Kick in from King towards Salmon. Harford waiting down towards centre wing. Still plenty of time, 7.5 minutes. Archer wanting someone going past. Hand pass wasn't good. Caused Stevens to prop. Holden his run. Mansfield just about clean bowl.
Oh.
Could have been a kick in danger there. It's been picked up. And it will go the way of Chris Grant. Still a long way out. Can go short and does to Stevens. Now he plays on. In towards Archer. Solidly met and locked up inside 50. Keeps it there.
Mead, I think, coming off, Sandy. Huskis coming on.
And hopping off is Darren Mead. So Adam Huskis will be delighted to get another run. They've been all too brief for him tonight.
Fortunately for the club teams, he looks as though the only player to come off the ground anyway with something, any sort of serious injury.
Here's King. David King.
Good pressure.
Towards Stevens now. The left footer only had to sit and he was a chance. His hand pass was not a good one. Bond gets a hurry kick back towards the centre. They're tired kicks now. Well, may be, because it's been pressure, pressure, pressure.
I think that's the key word now in the last turn. I mean, that just usual sure ball handling of Michael Sexton.
Yeah.
That gives you an indication of what's happening out there.
Great finish. 3 points the margin. Victoria regaining the lead. Scott Russell a chance. Round onto the left foot, tumbling a punt towards Bigland.
Advantage of playing a step in front.
Bigland's got a loose player in Rusciuto on the outer side. A long way out. He goes short. They've opened up the loose man. And Craig Bradley, the skipper, can put his side in front. That's his location. 10 kicks, 8 hand passes, just took his second mark. The roar will tell the story. A behind.
It had more movement, that football, than a Glenn McGrath off-cutter, Sandy.
Gee, it moved then.
Well, Alex Stewart thinks they move a bit, doesn't he? The kick in now is to be done here by David King to half back, and it's Harford out wide. Burke down towards the wing. Oh, that's four more.
And as soon as we say that, Maxwell's gone. Oh, airborne, but through.
Hit that well. George is out.
Oh, not with that line.
Oh, it's Boldy. Boldy round his legs.
Oh, has he got enough on it? He hasn't.
Oh, that's out.
Yes, it is.
He's got it over them. A wonderful stroke.
Oh, a doubt. Yeah, had to be. Just like that. Just like that.
Joe Root on strike. James Faulkner.
He gets that over the infield.
3 overs, none for 13.
Cook almost hits the man at mid-wicket.
Oh, there's the reverse. It's in the air. Got him, has he? Oh, yes, he has. George Bailey, good catch. Oh, that's well hit. Really well hit. Maybe the first six? Yes.
He can play this, man. He can seriously bat. Oh, Joe Root gets all of that. Hit that better. Slashed away for four. Down he comes, out he goes.
That's out. Would you believe it? Oh, that's out. You wouldn't believe it. Oh, that's out of the middle of the bat. Six. His bat was in the air and he plonked it in. This time. Out. Middles it. Yes, he does. He'll take it from here. And Australia take these bowls. Lepara deep in his crease. Beaten. That foot lifted. Backs away. Edges out. They've done it. They've done it. Watson's delivered the 50th over beautifully.
Can you believe that? That is extraordinary. They were gone, Australia. When Morgan was batting with Joe Root, they were gone. And somehow they've found a way to win.
Liking this podcast? Please like, rate, and subscribe. Extra Time. Big Finish.
All right, mate, to kick us off on the Extra Time Big Finish, we'll run through these relatively quickly tonight. Australia out of the Billie Jean Cup after Slovakia took us down, and yet another injury to Tom Lanovic.
Yeah, disappointing there. Yeah, I just can't seem to get much luck injury-wise, unfortunately.
Exactly right. Jordan Thompson and Max Purcell were the first all-Australian pair through to the semifinals of the ATP Tour Finals since Todd Woodbridge and Mark Woodford in 1999. That's a fair drought between drinks.
Yeah, and good to see. And hopefully in 20, 30 years' time, they're getting on a little bit better than the Woodies. So.
Absolutely. Yes. All right, let's move on. The Motorsport, Adelaide 500, we did talk about it at the top of the show. It was a little bit of a car crash, a repair job dream, but Brown ended up taking out the Adelaide 500 here and is now crowned a new champion. I love it how they're sort of referring to him as the used car salesman. Absolutely brilliant, isn't it?
No, it was good. It was good. And look, great event. Full credit, Peter Malinauskas and the South Australian government. And I think Liberals got a fair bit of egg on their face for this. It's really captured South Australia and gone, seems to be going strength to strength. So, yeah, no, well done to the government.
Absolutely.
Yeah, maybe a lesson learnt, hopefully.
Well, not only do the drivers think that it's one of their most favourite events, but the crowds continue to roll in. I must admit, this year, I don't know whether it's just the way it was, but I just don't feel like the road closures were an issue this year. Everyone wasn't complaining about them like they normally do.
Yeah,
Everyone just sort of got on with it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and it was interesting being around at the Britannia both days, that it wasn't too bad with the traffic. And I left from the Britannia to go to Nord Oval, and it was like a ghost train going up the parade.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, people going, I'm worried about the parking yet again for Nord. I'm sorry, I've been to Nord Oval when there's been 20,000 people there. I've been going to Nord Oval now, driving for 40 bloody years, and I've never had a problem getting a park at Nord.
Yep.
I don't get it.
I think the weather might have just played a little bit of a part there. But
yeah, it did. But I'm talking back in the Halcyon days of VS NFL. Yep. It's still... I know you know your own oval off by heart.
Yes.
And I get that.
Yep.
But, geez, I deliberately counted from when I parked, walking in, and there were still eight parks closer.
Yep.
And people were carrying on.
Anyway, so well done to the South Australian government there for the motorsport there, and also for attracting the AFLW and Nord as well, attracting
there
those
events. There was one amusing bit there. The plane flyover was at the same time on Sunday. So the poor girl for the national anthem, they had to wait till that stopped.
Oh,
so the lineup,
the F1 was over the top.
There was no way in the world you could have done it when that was going on. So it was amusing watching the teams just standing there, like, twiddling their thumbs. Come on. So it was funny.
Absolutely. Well done to all involved there. All right, let's move on to lawn bowls very, very quickly. Last week we talked about the Adelaide Pioneers competing in BPL 20 up in Queensland. They were out of it with basically 2 days to go and ended up getting on a bit of a roll, making the finals and ended up finishing fourth. So congratulations go there. And another South Australian who I'd love to get on our show here, but we've actually had him on our Lawn Bowl show, is Nathan Black, who represented the Sydney Lions. Good South Australian country lad there. Ended up being put in the team of the tournament. So congratulations go there. And he ended up finishing runner-up as well for the tournament. So congratulations. All right, mate, any SNFL news floating around?
No, not really. It's a bit disappointing with a few Nord boys going from last year out and about at other clubs and all that. But these things happen.
Mm-hmm.
Look, we wish Harry Boyd all the best, but maybe not too much all the best luck. So, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
We'd love to have a chat with him either
way. Yeah, we will.
Which would be fantastic.
St Kilda is a distinct possibility.
Yep. Good luck to him there. Any other general news floating around? What's your good, the bad, the ugly for the week, mate?
Probably the good was just the car race just seemed to be the mood in Adelaide around. Look, and I'm not a car racing person. Yep. I admit that.
Yep.
But it seemed to have a good vibe around Adelaide. And that
a bit like Gather Round, you know, where everyone's sort of enjoying being there.
Yeah, look, probably for me, we're this side of town, the eastern side,
yep.
So it's not as easy to get Hart Street and all that. So, but I will make the effort just to get it, just to be around, see what that's like. But the Britannia was good.
Yep.
It was good fun. Wasn't as busy as I thought. It was just steady. Yep. It wasn't quite as packed as I thought it might have been.
Yep.
But it was still steady.
I think that's the case everywhere. Everywhere at the moment with everything. It's steady, but it's not sort of over the top. So
books went okay. Yep. Mate, I had a good day.
That's what I like. That's what I really like to hear.
Yes.
You're ugly for the week, mate? Or you're bad? We'll start off with your bad, and then we'll do the ugly.
Unfortunately, it's probably South Australia against, as a Sheffield Shield nut.
As a bad or an ugly?
A bit of both, I think. Yeah, the fact that we weren't even really competitive, we lost by an innings on the third day,
yep.
was pretty average at home.
Yep.
Disappointing.
Yep. My good for the week, I'm a bit like you. The events that are happening here in South Australia, absolutely fantastic. We have mentioned before, congratulations to the government, obviously, in taking the bull by the horn and putting it back on the agenda. And I think people are responding to it in a really, really positive way. My bad for the week is probably the scheduling of the women's game. I know that the weather didn't quite get to what we sort of thought it was, but I thought it was a little bit sort of odd that the AFLW wouldn't rearrange that just slightly to make it a little bit more user-friendly, knowing that the weather was going to turn and change a little bit later in the day.
Yeah, and look, it's hard with a team flying from interstate and all that, but if you'd said to me, I'm in charge of Fremantle at the stage, and you either say, you want to play at that time, you're playing in front of 36, 37 degrees, mm-hmm. or play a night game and it's 20 something degrees, and you won't get back till the next day, I know which one I'm picking.
Yep.
In terms of preparation for the next week.
Well, that's what you've got to look forward to.
In that way, I don't get it.
And this is where I think Adelaide are maybe at a slight disadvantage in that they would have preferred to have played that slightly cooler conditions to give them the best opportunity.
Yeah, look,
but I know that, you have to play when you play.
I do wonder as well. I don't think it's ratings quite as much. So whether they were prepared to go a late night, with a Fox and that wanted that. That's also a potential.
And we have talked about that previously with broadcasting now, sort of deciding when games are going to be played. And then my ugly for the week, unfortunately, was probably that crowd member who has interacted with the Adelaide 36ers there. We don't need that in any sport where crowds are getting involved in that type of manner. We do like it when the high fives and the hugs and the pumping up of the crowd goes, but when it sort of spills back over, I think that's it's an ugly sight, and it shouldn't be in any sport really at all.
Yep. So. Definitely.
All right, mate, we better wind things up there. We're recording a touch earlier tonight than normal. I know the cricket there, Australia have just bowled Pakistan out. So that's going to be interesting to watch the second innings there. Yeah. But as per usual, mate, we promise to do better next week. And we thank you all once again for listening. As per usual, please like, rate, subscribe, share with your friends, share with your family, share with your enemies, because all of those numbers certainly help us. And as we had at the top of the show, if you are not doing anything on Saturday night, please pop along to the Paynham...
Paynham Sports, Churchill's Cricket Club, cricket footy, club, footy Club, whatever you want to call us. Yep. John Street, Paynham's the largest car park.
Absolutely. Thank Looking you. Forward to it. We promise to do better next week. See you next week. Thanks, mate.
In this crazy world we live in, we all need the distraction. Enjoying the show? Like, rate, and subscribe. Hook up and connect with us on social media at SportsCastSA. We'll see you next time on Game On.